So I've been speaking about spiritual warfare, and I did about 2 weeks ago. I sort of started, and I never really got to finish, really. I didn't even get to say that much at all, I didn't think. But I told a story about a supernatural encounter that I had. One when I had in my flat back in Hamilton. And then the other was on a trip, and when we were in Gisborne, seeing this lady manifest and all sorts of things happen. And it really got me thinking about what's happening in the spiritual dimension. And so lately now I've been on this sort of, you know, you start preaching about something, it's amazing how much you see things differently. If I told you to go out and I want you to have a look at all the people that are wearing red as you go through this week, that would be in your mind, and you would see people. It's the same in the scriptures. When you start going, okay, what do I think about the spiritual dimension? What's happening in the spiritual? I start seeing lots and lots of stuff in the scriptures. Just to remind you, one of my concerns with this is that I think sometimes when it comes to the spiritual thing, we can go overboard. Now, I don't know where that is, because I don't know. Sometimes God does do peculiar things. He asks people to do peculiar things in the Bible. There's some weird things he's asked people to do. He asked the guy to lie naked. I think that's weird. So I know there's some there, but I think we've still got to be able to work out what's spiritual and what's natural, and we walk in this realm of those both things happening all the time, and they're intertwined. And then we've got the other side where we might be totally oblivious to it, and we're not even interested in spiritual things. We don't even know whether there's anything spiritual in anything. We just think it's all natural. And somewhere in between, there is this spiritual thing happening all the time. The first thing to remember is I don't want anybody to be fearful. And so I always, this is a scripture. If you ever have fear in your life, this is your scripture that you should quote to yourself. It's 1 John 4:4. It says this, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over these people." So this is, he's just talking about a situation that he's in. "Because the spirit that lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world." What you've got to know is that the Holy Spirit within you, God's spirit, is greater than any other opposition spirit that you face. See, the spiritual is happening all the time. And I think I said last time, look, I believe the spiritual is more real than the natural. But we struggle, and I think especially maybe in our Western world, to understand the spiritual dimension. We are very, I don't know what the word is, logical. We are very set on what we can see, what we can feel, what we can touch. We're set in that wing. Whereas I believe, and if you know, you read through the Bible enough, there is so much happening that's spiritual. There are spiritual encounters happening all the time. I've been reading these scriptures that have been trying to help me sort of understand what's happening in the spiritual world. Where does it intersect with the natural world? Where is it going to intersect in your life and in my life? And so I've got this. So the Holy Spirit lives within you, but I also feel there's sort of like an essence of God. Now, this is going to try and get you thinking. I'll tell you what, I'll read some scriptures here and you try and think about what they mean. Here's the first one, Acts 5:14. "As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from villages around Jerusalem bringing their sick and those possessed of evil spirits, and they were all healed." Okay, what's happening here? Oh, look, I've actually got three shadows, four. A shadow. A physical shadow, when he walked along, touched people, and because of that physical shadow, people got healed. Now, do you believe that happens? Something happened. Okay, here's another one. Acts 19:11. God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When the handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. We don't sort of do our handkerchiefs much now, do we? We don't carry them now. They're horrible things. We use tissues, don't we? We're a lot more reformed. But here's a picture of a physical hanky, a solid object that possessed what? What was in it that caused it to touch somebody and suddenly they were affected by it? It's a power. It's a power. Now, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like a power. It's like, how do I explain it? It's like a, well, electricity could be a thing. It's like a substance that's going through that is intermingled in the physical. Yeah. Some of you are looking at me going, oh, this is kind of out there in the... See, the power of God can be contained in an object. The ideal conductor of the power of God is people. But it flows out of that. In 2 Kings 13:20, then Elisha died and was buried. And then at the next line it goes, groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Once when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders. So they hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elisha and fled. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man was revived and jumped to his feet. And of course ran off. How many of you didn't know that was in the Bible? Just out of curiosity, how have you never ever read that? Be honest. Okay. That's kind of out there, isn't it? We know Elisha wasn't there. It was an object. But there was something of the essence of the power of God still within there. See, the Pharisees, they were obsessed with things being clean and not clean. And that came from Deuteronomy. If you read through Deuteronomy, there was lots of things that they taught clean and unclean. And for the Jewish people, that you didn't touch dead bodies. There was, what was that though? Why was that a thing? Now, Jesus challenged them because he said, hey, what makes something unclean is not what happens on the outside. It all stems from what's happening within your heart. So therefore, you and me and I are carrying the Holy Spirit within us. If you've saved, if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, and then you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And can I get in that selfie? Oh, okay. That's all right. Take one of me. Okay. Oh, can I just tell you something? I'm actually really observant when I'm preaching. Like I see things. I see people get up and walk out and I think, what did I say? And then I think, why didn't they go to the toilet in the break? There was 100 people went out there. Why didn't they go? Sorry. Okay, you're right. Nobody's going to get up now, are you? Okay, here we go. If you really need to go to the toilet, go now. Oh, okay. We can hold on if we have to. Sorry, where was I? That was really bad. See, the Pharisees were obsessed with things on the outside. It's all about, though, on the inside. So there is something about what happens to you on the inside flowing out of you. It just flows out of you, but it's touching things. And see, this is when I've started thinking about the spiritual and the natural, and so much of what happens in the natural is replicated in the spiritual and talked about in that spiritual zone. The Bible talks about our voice and our words being creative. So sound has an effect on atmosphere. It carries power. Light and darkness. Light carries, there's so much in the word that talks about light versus darkness. In Genesis 28:16, and I read this the other week, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I wasn't even aware of it. He'd lied down, he'd had an encounter with God. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. So he was in a physical place, and the presence of God, he felt it. It was like, I'm not in it, I am in it. It was about a place. So what's that? I can remember when I was flatting in Hamilton in a boys' flat, and it was a real boys' flat. It was a horrible flat. Now that I look back at it, it was smelly and horrible and boys' flat, like in an old house. You know, we were university students in an old house that we were cramming as many people as we could into it. And it was good, but it was an old house. And I remember at the time that my parents had built a house down here on Waikirio Estuary, down right down in the line there. And it was a new house that they'd built. And I can remember going from my flat to coming home to this house. And it was a two-story house, and because I was coming back from uni, I went in the sort of the spare room, the visitor's lounge, which was underneath the house, and went right out onto this great lawn that they had. And it was just, and I can remember going back there, and as soon as I walked into that house, I could feel a peace. It was just an incredible atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. And in that place, I know even everything I did spiritually, it was easier. I can remember reading the Bible and just the revelation flowed. I can remember just feeling this rest and this peace, which I put down to my mum and dad living in that house and just their prayers. And sorry, Dad, but especially mums. Am I allowed to do that? But my mum's a prayer. And I'm convinced that that changed the atmosphere of that place. Not to say the boys flat, they weren't praying, but there is something about the atmosphere that, what is that? That's the presence of God in a place. You've heard me talk about, I think this is a significant place. When Pastor Phil Collis came and God showed him here, this land, there's something about that. It's chosen by God. Now, again, I don't get super spooked on it, but I'm aware that there's people coming into this place and they have an encounter with God and they don't realize it. I believe there is places where you go where the presence of God is stronger than other places. What is that? How do you explain that? So I started asking, what's my or your output of the power of God in your life? Is there an output? Is there an output that you and I carry the Holy Spirit, but there is an increase or a less of the Holy Spirit? Well, maybe not of the Holy Spirit, but of the power within. Because we as Pentecostals talk a lot about increasing the power of God. So what is that? How do you do it? And so I've been sort of thinking about, look, you know, in a fallen world, there is this essence of sin that perpetrator, when mankind sinned, sin entered the world, it entered nature, an evil, a death. Everything tended toward death. There was some sort of essence, if I try and use, there was a virus put into the world. There was something that made some things change. And you know, we have things like the devil, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. There is something that happened in the spiritual realm of our earth that affects it and weaves into it. And so how does that affect me? When the Holy Spirit came upon you or me, God's power began to flow through us. So when you got saved, he started from the inside out and cleansed your heart. I know we talk a lot about, look, we've got a sin nature because we sin, but it's actually an essence of sin and evil that's within us as humankind. It's effective. It's outworking is that we do our own thing and we sin. But it's an essence of sin in our nature. We have a sin nature. We have a tendency towards sin. It's like we've got a virus on our hearts. And when we ask Jesus to come into our life, the Holy Spirit comes in. Jesus' blood cleanses our heart, our spirit, and takes away the sin that is within our heart, in our spirit. It's a spiritual thing. Eleanor was just saying to me today, she said, oh, I just read someone or somewhere or somebody telling me that they've taken people that are just on death's edge and they've had them on a bed that has weights on it, that's weighing them. And when they die, the scales drop. And I can remember seeing that. We used to watch a film that showed them doing this thing where they would, when people were getting near to dying, they would set it so you could see there's the scale. And the moment they died, it dropped. Wow. What's that? Well, your spirit's within your whole body. It's a part of you. We use the heart, but your spirit's in there, and that is what God comes in and cleanses and fills you and empowers, the power of God. So what affects the power in my life? Well, I'm convinced it's your faith level, it's your belief in God, it's your understanding, and it's your alignment to God's word. And if I use the picture of, hey, look, God's pouring out his power all the time, and it's like a shower, and when I'm in alignment, when I'm in obedience to God, then I'm in that place where I get more of the power of God in my life. When I sin, I sort of walk away. It's not that I'm not forgiven and that I'm not going to heaven. No, but I'm not in the same place where I impart as much of the power of God. It's like it stops my conductivity, if that sounds right. It stops my... So the enemy's trying to get us, it taints us, it puts a film between us and God, and yes, we've got a relationship, and it's here, God's never leaving us, but we are not receiving the same way. My obedience. I've been thinking a lot about obedience. And the scripture that keeps going in my head is obedience is better than sacrifice. And my understanding of that is that you and me often think that it's our sacrifice that brings us into the presence of God. Which I think does affect it. But your sacrifice does not outweigh obedience. So here's the situation. Oh, I've given to the church. I've sacrificed for the church. And God's telling you to do something. What's more important? The obedience. I mean, Eleanor talked about being under authority. That's so you can be, and so often we go, yeah, but I've done all these things. I've done all the sacrifice. No, but God's after obedience. All of us, that's right. Any sin in our lives is stopping my receptivity. Am I full of the Holy Spirit? Am I full of the Word of God? The Bible talks about the washing of the word. What does that mean? What do you think that means for you? Hey, but I'm already saved. Yeah, so what's the washing of the word? What's happening? Well, it's washing the world off you. It's washing that sin. It's like sin's a sticky goo throughout our place. God, and when we go into places, we get gooed. I don't know whether that's good. But the washing of the word... And look, there's a whole lot of things that are affecting us. The music we listen to, the places we go, the things. They're all affecting us to a greater or lesser extent. Colossians 1:16 says, "For through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth through Jesus. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything existed and holds creation together." I love the picture. Everything comes from God. Everything's got to be lived through God in your life. And everything ultimately gives glory back to God. Everything. The Bible says that we will all stand before God and give an account, but we will also go true and righteous your way, God. We're all involved in a spiritual battle. All the time you're involved in a spiritual battle. There's a spiritual battle happening in your mind, where the enemy's fighting between, what am I going to do? I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit, or I'm going to follow my own things. The world is made up of millions of small battles of different sizes that everybody's facing. Some are national battles over countries. There is some spiritual battles happening over a country. There's one happening over our country. In fact, there's probably two or three happening over our country. Don't be foolish to think there isn't. My desire is you open your eyes. Open your eyes. Get more sensitive. Elisha became frustrated with his servant because he didn't understand what was happening in the spiritual dimension in 2 Kings 6:8, where he's going, this guy looked at this servant felt that he was facing a national crisis because here's an army that's coming after Elisha. If you don't know the story, very quickly, I'll try and do it in 2 minutes. Elisha was telling his king everything that this enemy, the Arameans, I think it was, everything that that king was doing to try and catch him. So this king would say, let's go get the king of Israel here. And so, I should say, mate, don't go down there, you're getting caught. And the king of the enemy suddenly gets so frustrated, he says, who's the spy in my midst? Who's the person that keeps telling them about this? You can read it in 2 Kings 6. And he goes, and they all go, no, it's not a person. Look, Elisha, the prophet, he's able to tell what you say, even in your room, in the privacy of your room. And he goes and tells their king. And he goes, get that man. So they run off and they take an army and they surround Elisha's house or their city. And the servant who, you know, was doing his daily chores, going out to get the water, walks outside and there's this huge army. That'd be a bit of a wake-up call, wouldn't it? That'd be like walking out and suddenly you look out your door and there's a whole lot of SAS soldiers surrounded your house with, you know, with everything and a couple of tanks as well. You know, you'd just be, oh, what's happened today? What did I do today? So here's Elisha. You know, the servant comes running in. Mate, we're in trouble. We're going to die. They're all around us. And Elisha goes, walks outside and says, open his eyes. And suddenly he sees all the spiritual, the chariots of God running around. And so Elisha goes out and says, oh, who are you looking for? And they say, we're looking for Elisha. And he says, he's not here, because he's prayed God blind their eyes. But I know where he is. Why don't you guys all come with me? They go, oh, yeah, okay. And so he takes them to Israel and they all stand in the middle. And then suddenly he goes, open their eyes. And suddenly they're surrounded by the whole Israel army right there in this place. Physical, spiritual, happening all the time. What do you see that's happening in your world? What's happening in your home? What's natural and what's spiritual? I mean, there are some things that are natural because we made dumb decisions and done dumb. Are you allowed to say that? Stupid things. We've allowed stupid things. We've been lazy. But what's happening in the spiritual realm? If you believe in a spiritual authority, then I'd say if you're a man in the house, the spiritual dimension of your house is dependent on you. Don't just sit there thinking, oh, it's all right, my wife prays. Anyhow, moving on. See, the enemy's trying to speak to you and me all the time, as well as God's trying to speak to me, you and me all the time. And look, Matthew 16 is this a great example. 16:16 says, Simon Peter answered, okay, so Jesus asked, who am I? And he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. So Peter has this great revelation from God. Wow, man, I'm the man. And only, how many, 17, verse 22, five verses later, Peter, you know, all really pumped up, Peter took him aside, Jesus' side, and began to reprimand him. That makes you laugh now, doesn't it? Imagine that. Jesus, I just need to deal with you here. You just got a few things wrong here. And for saying such things, because Jesus was saying, I had to die. And I'm going to die, and this is what's going to happen. And Peter's going, you can't say that. I mean, who knows how long he went on for? And how long Jesus just sort of stood there. And then, oh, look, he's even spiritualized it. Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him from saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord. Spiritual answer, he said, this will never happen to you. Verse 23, Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. Oh, that's a bit extreme. I haven't said that to anybody this week. Just as well. You are dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. How many times is that happening to us? Seeing things from a human point of view. See, the enemy's trying to whisper. Here's a person. One minute he's hearing from God. The next minute he's hearing from Satan. Have you ever thought that Satan might be trying to mess with your mind? So we need to be protected. We need the Holy Spirit within us. Peter's thinking. We must be careful about our thinking. We must be careful about our confession. You know, the whole goal of the enemy with Job was just to change his confession. Was just to get Job to deny God. That's all that he wanted to do. And Job went through all these physical things. And everybody pressuring him to say. No, Job said, no, I won't. Though God slay me. You see, one of the things that I think is the most important for you and me as a Christian is that we get a peace in our heart and that we have strength within. You know, I'm a very strong believer in praying to change my circumstances, to pray for the things change. But it doesn't always happen. You don't always get what you pray for. And so what is that then? I'm praying, God, give me a strength within that I hold fast. That I still believe you, besides, regardless of what happens in the circumstances. It's all about my ability to walk in faith when things are going wrong, to be continually in prayer, be continually going, I'm okay. I'm okay if things go wrong. That doesn't change whether I believe in you or not. My faith is solid, strong. I believe in you and I walk and I live in obedience. You doesn't matter what happens on the outside. There's a battle over your revelation from God. Sin allows, sin virus, a goo. Oh, I've already said about the goo, haven't I? A darkness essence. And look, there's lots of scriptures, and I've run out of time because I want the musicians to come. But Ephesians 2:1-7, it talks about here, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. This is before Christ. You used to live in sin. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. That when you're not walking with God, that is who you are under. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey. It's a spirit, it's an essence of evil that's within. All of you used to live that way, following the passions and desires and the inclinations of your sinful nature. But our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. So here, let me cut to it real quick. The thing about all this, and you can go read 1 Peter, and I think I'll have to do a part two, because the good stuff's coming here. But here, look, just get this. I'm not going to look at all the evil. I'm not even going to look at even the sin. I'm going to look at going after Jesus. I'm going to look after being in his presence. So look, if you're battling something, a habit or something, stop looking at the habit and just start looking at God. If you go after God, it'll fall off you. I remember my dad saying about praise and worship that often there is people in here and they're worshiping and stuff falls off. Stuff. And whether that's a spirit or not, and I'm not going to get into that, but whether it's something that's afflicting, when you get into the presence of God, those things change. That's why I'm a firm believer in praise and worship. Both of them are important. Don't sit there going, well, I don't like the fast songs, I just want the worship. No. Because it's praise that breaks the atmosphere. When you praise, that's why I go, it's even physical. Why was God so excited about David? Because he was enthusiastic about what he believed. He didn't stand there with his feet, hands folded, going, well, I don't really like this song, Ellen. It's not my favorite one. Well, I don't care. You've got to have an attitude of praising God. It actually doesn't matter about the song, does it really? Well, it does and it doesn't. But it's about your confession. It's about your stance towards God. And when you get in that, so that's why when we get together and we start praising and pulling down, there is a multiplication effect of what you carry in your faith and your belief. If you come in here with your arms folded all the time, you're affecting the realm. Now I'm off on another subject. Listen, look, when Jesus went to heal Jairus' daughter, he didn't even take half the disciples with him because he didn't want their unbelief. He didn't want their stance. He took Peter, James, and John. He went, come with me, guys. He cleared out all the negative people that were moaning and groaning. Get out of here. And then he went. There's something about it, what we carry in our atmosphere. So jump to your feet. Don't be slow in it. And we're going to sing this song because there's a whole lot of words in here that I went, man, that's just what I'm preaching. And you just, if you're in a bad place, just praise God. Just focus on God. Just get your eyes on Jesus. Don't be looking at all the stuff. Don't look at all the blame things. There's so many things we can blame. Right, let's sing before I start talking again.